We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The day spring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God. Be revived.
Grace gave an instruction last week, which we began, that we should, the Lord has, in fact, he's been saying it in January, how the Lord has placed the burden in his heart that we should look into the burden on the way of communion, which has to do with growing our basic fellowship with the Lord. So if you ask me, all that we may still be doing in this whole couple of weeks, thank God for the grace that will be released, but it may still be a basic reality. We may have to still go back into that topic ourselves to fetch out all the goody goodies in quotes that are inside it, so that we can all enjoy a rich fellowship with the Lord. Hallelujah. A rich fellowship with the Lord. God's servant Pastor Friday began last week, introducing it on a very good note. We thank God for that grace upon him. And one of the things he said, one of the things he said was what communion is. Amen. Hallelujah. There's quite a lot of things to talk about, so I want to probably eat it, maybe running if possible. But I also want us to follow me, by God's grace, into the thoughts carefully, so that all that will be said will be gotten. Amen. So like I said, Pastor Friday gave us a good definition of what communion is last week. He said communion is friendly relationship marked by communication link and mutual understanding. Friendly relationship that is marked by communication link and mutual understanding. So it's clear that communion is not just a thing that you have to do with the Lord. You can commune with another person. In fact, you can commune with a thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in this context, we're talking about as regards the Lord. Hallelujah. As believers, our communion is with the Lord. Daddy came up last week rounding up and explained how communion is actually, we know the Greek word of communion is koinonia. I'm sure we all know that. And it means intercourse with the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, so it's clear that communion is between two parties having intercourse with the Lord. The book of Songs of Solomon captures communion. We can even take some basic principles from there. If the Lord permits me, maybe I'll go through also that route in the teaching. But what we saw the picture of the Lord and his bride having his bride and the church. Having communion with each other in verse 2, I think it says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his lips. So it's clear that communion really is an, he says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. So it's clear that the whole act, and that is said, communion is much more than a science, is an heart. Hallelujah. So there's a need to know about how it is, or how it is to be done, for us to be able to enjoy the riches of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So communion is, like it was also said, I think Pastor Onesimus also referred to it while praying on Tuesday, that is from the word common union, having common union or unity with another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in this premise, it's based on the relationship the Father wants to have with us as his children. Hallelujah. New birth affords us the privilege to be God's children, because we were regenerated in our spirit, and on that template, God can now relate with us as a father. Can we say amen? God can relate with us as a father, no longer as children of the devil, but as God's own children. Hallelujah. Now, the access that we have to that is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Friday also labored around that last week, making us know that Jesus, by God's grace, had rent the veil, so everyone can access to enjoy communion with the Lord. Hallelujah. Everyone can access the Father to enjoy communion with the Lord. Let's see Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Not verse 1. Just a few scriptures from here. Verse 13, because of time, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, we who sometimes were far off are made near. Can we say made near? by the blood of Christ. So the premise at which the ground at which we can come to the Father is upon the grounds of the blood of Christ and what Jesus had paid for us, which he did on the cross. Hallelujah. Now, what happened on the cross was what brought about the regeneration of our spirit. Believing in that is what brings about the regeneration of our spirit, through which we can now access the Father as a child. Hallelujah. Can access the Father as a child. In Matthew chapter 27, we saw that when Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross, Scripture says the veil was rent. Hallelujah. The veil was rent. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 9 makes us understand that we can now access into the holiest of all. Hallelujah. Can we quickly see Hebrews chapter 9, verse 3 and verse 8? I'm just trying to jump. Amen. Because I want to really establish some things by God's grace. That after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. So we understand that in order to access the holiest of all, there has to be a breaking of veils, or there has to be a tearing of veils. Verse 8, go to verse 8. It's the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. So now that way into the Father, because who is in the holiest of all? The Father. The Father is the one who is in the secret. Hallelujah. The Father is the one who is in the secret place. And that Father who is in the secret place wants all of his children to be able to access him. Wants all of his children to be able to access him. That's one of the privileges that we enjoy as new, as born-again believers, or as born-again, that's like tautology. Born again, as being born again, as believers, we enjoy the privilege of gaining that access to the Father. Let's see Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25, verse 22. Just a few scriptures to establish these things. It says, and there I will, maybe go to verse 21. 21. It says, and thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. Amen. It says, and there I will meet with thee. So it's clear that the Father is in the secret place. We know that the mercy seat is one of the articles in the holiest of all. So the Father is saying that, there I will meet with thee. Now, this is a reality that he was speaking to the children of Israel, but it has always been his desire. From the beginning, we saw how he came into the cool of the day to fellowship with man, even until man lost that. But I'm sure there was still fellowship at a level. Go back to that Exodus 25, verse 22. Thank you. It says, and there I will meet with thee. I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. So it's clear that it's not just us that is looking for communion. The Father is also looking for communion. And he has given a place. He has placed a place in which we can come into for us to enjoy that privilege. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. So thank God for the privilege of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and became a sacrifice for sins, through which we all can now enjoy that access back to the Father. Hallelujah. So God, even though he's our creator, he's our king, he's our maker, also wants to relate with those things, particularly the man he made, which we've been told and taught that the whole essence of creation is actually for man. The only reason why God created the whole heaven and the earth is for man, who eventually placed as the Lord of the earth in order for him to now journey back into him. Hallelujah. So God's desire is that man whom he created would come into a place where they both will become friends. Hallelujah. They both will become friends. They both will become friends. And that's what we began to see from Genesis chapter 3, God coming into the cool of the day, sharing his thoughts, sharing his things with the man whom he created, in this context, Adam. Hallelujah. And he said, and they heard the voice of the Lord. I like the word, the voice of the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So it's clear that there won't be communion if we don't know what the voice of the Lord is. So one of the parameters at which the Lord uses to commune with us is via his voice. Can we see his voice? Hallelujah. It says, Scripture says the voice of the Lord is upon many waters. So except we have access into waters, we won't be able to discern the voice of the Lord. We won't be able to know the voice of the Lord. A lot of believers struggle with this at times, particularly maybe as a young believer, you may have struggles not discern, not knowing how to discern rightly the voice of the Lord. Because at times it's like you are hearing a voice in your head, there's another voice, and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. But thank God for the privilege to go through this teaching, like I said, which I believe God is going to be using to establish some things again to us. Hallelujah. So it says, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters, the God of glory thundered, the Lord is upon many waters. So we cannot find or get the voice of the Lord outside waters. Now, what does waters represent in scripture? The word. Hallelujah. So one of the most basic way to know the voice of the Lord is through his word. Can we say amen? I say one of the most basic way of knowing God's voice or knowing the Lord's voice is where? Is through his voice. Can we say amen? It's through his voice. Hallelujah. God's voice will never contradict his word. God's voice will never go against his word. God's voice will never confuse what his word has said. Hallelujah. So hearing something that is not against, that is against scripture is right, is likely not God's voice. It's likely God's not God's voice. Now, like I said, one of the reasons why we may not know that voice is also because our reality with the word, or our reality with God's word, is a little bit shallow. So, and because of some of those reasons, we can think it is this, but it's not the Lord. It's not the Lord. For example, God will never support it. God's voice will never support unforgiveness. God's voice will never support killing your brother, backbiting your brother, devouring your brother. God's voice will never support that. Now, so some of such thoughts, for example, maybe the Lord told you, you are hearing a voice, don't greet that person. You are hearing that voice, don't greet that brother. And you are like, I think the Lord does not want me to greet. The Lord does not speak like that. Hallelujah. The Lord never speaks like that. The Lord would rather say, go and greet the brother, because he is love. Hallelujah. So God's voice, God's voice can also be known as we know God's character, as we know God's nature. Hallelujah. So we cannot discern the voice of the Lord outside his nature and his character. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's quickly look at discerning the Lord's voice, because it's one of the parameters that we will use in building and developing a strong communal life with the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So, by spending time with the Lord, we had to learn about him. We had to learn about him. When we learn about him, one of the things that happens to us is that he draws himself close to us. Now, the Lord knows how to. The Lord, like I said, is also desiring to commune with us. He's also desiring to come. The Lord, it was not Adam that came. It was the Lord that came calling Adam. So when the Lord comes, the Lord now draws you from where you are. So we saw from scripture many, many patterns. The Lord calling men from where they were. Calling men from where they were. God, Adam must have moved to where the Lord was. Abraham was called to journey with the Lord. Hallelujah. You saw in scriptures, prophets, men that walked with the Lord calling them to engage on a walk with him. Now, the whole essence of that walk is part of communion. Are you following me? It's part of communion, to the end that you become his friend, to the end that you he can now share his secrets with you. Hallelujah. Amos chapter 3 verse 7 says, God will surely not do anything. Let's see that. Amos 3 chapter 7 verse 7 rather. He says, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Another word for these prophets or his servants are his friends. His friends. His friends. His friends. So God wants friends. Can we say God wants friends? Wants friends. Can we say God wants me to be his friend? Oh, you didn't say it. Some people did not say it in this church. Say it one more time. Now, I don't want us to feel like God wants me to. Yes, that's the truth. The Father wants us to be his friend. The Father wants us to come into fellowship with him. The Father wants us to share of the fellowship that he has. No wonder. No, before we come into the exact fellowship with the Father, we have to grow into some levels of fellowship. Thank God for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The fellowship of the Holy Ghost, which is also shaped, like God's servant said also last week, as a result of the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. So without word, I'm still around knowing how to discern the Lord's voice. Without word, without the table, according to God's servant, without that meal, without the doctrine, without the teaching, we cannot come into fellowship. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we saw how the church began, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So the next thing that jumps out of doctrine or out of teaching is fellowship. It shouldn't be a head knowledge. Are you following me? There should be communion. So we all that we have come here to do this morning is to end in fellowship. I don't know if you get what I'm talking about. It says they were added to the church as such as should be saved. Now, in church, what they were doing is that they would continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Thank you. Go back to 42. They continued in teaching. Now, this teaching at this point was the teaching of the name of the Holy Ghost, such that the saints or the believers in this place can enjoy the fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? Now, after this level of fellowship, they are meant to also enjoy the fellowship with the Son. Hallelujah. Now, we saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, talking about the communion. Can you help me with that scripture? The communion of the Lord. Talking about his bread and his blood. Thank you. He says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So communion actually does not end in word. Communion is meant to end in blood. Now, we've been told by God's servant how that is more with regards to the expression of the word. I don't know if God I'm talking about. So the whole essence of teaching is so that we can come and participate in something. Hallelujah. Come and participate in a reality. In a reality that the Lord wants to draw us into. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. In 1 John chapter 1, we saw scripture also talking about God wanting us to come in. It's also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. Into the fellowship of his Son. The fellowship of his Son. Thank you. Go to 1 Corinthians 1:9. So God is faithful by which you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, this fellowship is Hayaiwano. Are you following me? It's a high fellowship. 1 Thessalonians 5:25 says, faithful is he that calleth us. So it's clear that it's the Father that is in charge of all the callings. Even at the level of the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, it's the Father that summons us. It's the Father that summons you when God was going to bring the churches into a level of fellowship. It was the Father they were praying to. Are you following me? It was the Father they were praying to. So 1 John chapter 1, it says God wants to bring this particular, John was writing to them. He says, that which we have heard, which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So we see that there's a level of fellowship with the Father and his Son. Hallelujah. I said all of that to just show us the stages of fellowship that exists. But like it's been also emphasized, we begin fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So how we experience that fellowship is by spending time with him. Is by spending time with him. By spending time with him, we know him. We know him. We learn about him. So what we have come to do in church is to learn about him. Is to learn about the Lord. Is to learn about him. By learning about him, he draws close to us. By learning about him, what did I say? He draws close to us. Scripture says the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He draws near to us. Now, like to you, when you are not interested in the things of the Lord will not draw near to you. He says, the Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Sister Faith, while she was leading in prayer this morning, was talking about how we must learn how to wait on the Lord. How to wait on the Lord. Ability to tarry, wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus was telling Martha, he said, why are you encumbered about many, many things? Why are you encumbered about so much things? The other sister, what the sister was doing was that the sister was sitting at the Lord's feet. She says, and Jesus answered, and is it the verse we should start from? You know the verse. And said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. So we understand that troubles, cares, is one of the major distractions in experiencing a rich and an authentic fellowship with the Lord. said, but one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away. Take me to the verse that showed us that she was sitting at his feet. Thank you, says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Say, heard his word. So primarily, communion begins in the place of hearing his word. What did I say? Primarily, communion begins in the place of hearing his word. Now, like I said, I'm talking about communion at even, I'm talking from the basic level here now. Communion with the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit. In hearing his word, we will begin to know how to discern his voice. Hallelujah. In learning his voice, his word rather, we will begin to know how to discern his voice. Hallelujah. I won't lie to you. Discerning the Lord's voice takes practice, it takes patience, and it takes persistence. So it's not something you get in one day. You culture it again and again and again. And it says, my sheep hear my voice. And the end of that is that they know me. And by that, they will not follow the voice of a stranger. Are you following me? So we cannot say, it's possible, I don't know how the Lord speaks. I'm not hearing the Lord. How well are you accustomed to God's word? How well are we accustomed to God's word? We can be accustomed to God's word and we will not, and his voice will be far from us. His voice can be far from us. Hallelujah. God's voice often brings peace and calm, even in chaos matters, even in the midst of chaos. Hallelujah. We can also check, I think Pastor Friday was also using how God speaks through patterns. We can also check the feelings of our emotions, how we feel at times with regards to decisions or with regards to some things. Are you feeling peaceful or are you feeling anxious? Like, you know that God's nature does not support anxiety. God's nature does not support fear. So are you afraid about something? That cannot be the Lord, because God has not given us the spirit of what? Of fear. Hallelujah. God has not given us with some. So instead of being afraid, what he says we should do is that we should, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. I like the word with thanksgiving. Now, why you do it with thanksgiving is because you are assured that according to God's will, that is God's will, and he will hear you. He says, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 So, like I said, it is on the premises of his word that we discern his voice. Now, at times, it's possible, let me say something, I may be saying it ahead of myself, it's possible to do devotion and not do communion. Amen. It's very, very possible, because I was in a family, we do devotion night and day. Amen. We sing, I can't remember the song very well now, but it was like a repetition and all those kind of things. But somewhere, after we do that, we just forget the Lord, and we leave the Lord in devotion. We continue our own life. But that's not the idea of communion. Communion should be a day thing. Psalm 25 verse 5, I think. Help me with Psalm 25 verse 5. Psalm 25 verse 5 says, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. So communion should be all the day. Permit me to use our modern English. Communion should be all day. Are you following me? Communion should be 24 hours. Are you following me? As you are living that place of devotion, you should go with devotion. Or better put, you should go with communion. Daddy told us why he was speaking with us, and it's a reality that we also enjoy. How, after he reads the scriptures, the things he has read in scripture follows him. Now, we shouldn't leave Bible at home. Go with whatever you have read. The teachings that we are being taught, it shouldn't be left in the walls of Ajibode 120 Road. No, number 120 Ajibode Road. And when we come on Tuesday again, we are getting it back. Now, we should go with them. Go to your work with it. Go to market with it. It is on that premise that there will be instructions from the Spirit through what you have heard. How will we meditate? Now, one of the reasons why we won't meditate is because there we leave the word somewhere, or we leave his law somewhere, and we continue in our own day. Are you following me? Are you following me? So we need to learn the culture of carrying the presence of the Lord everywhere. The culture of carrying the presence that we derive from devotion. That presence that we derive from that quiet place in the morning. That presence that we derive, that joy, that excitement, that refreshing, that freshness that we gain from that moment of early morning prayer. It's not right. It's not bad. It's scriptural. Psalm 5, verse 3 talks about, it says, my voice shall thou hear in the morning. Oh Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Now, it's possible to wake up in the morning and look down. I'm not lying to you. That was ministering to us in a couples meeting yesterday. There are demons around our rooms that want you to look down. At times, you don't know why you feel bad on that particular day. Not like you desire. But by God's grace, we'll also look into some of the reasons why some of those things may happen. It may also be because of the way you slept. Yes, it may be. At times, we sleep not in presence. So we don't wake up in presence. Are you following me? Amen. This is my voice. Shout out here in the morning. Oh Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer. My prayer. See, we saw Jesus rising up early before it is day. Hallelujah. And he says, and in the morning rising up a great while before day, he went out. I like that. And departed into a solitary place. So it's obvious that communion is as a product of the secret place. Oh, may the Lord rekindle the fire of our secret place. Communion is as a product of, I want you in the secret place. When you are finishing devotion, the next thing you are looking for is that when next are you coming back there? If it is being done well. How many of us, don't let me ask a question. Let's not tempt anybody. Amen. When you were cutting your spouse, and maybe your spouse is not in your location, and now not your spouse, your friend then, or your fiancé, or I don't know the word also, like mommy also, hey, no more. when you are in a relationship, and like my wife, when I was her friend then, she was in Lagos, I was in Ibadan. Anytime I'm with her in Lagos, I'm looking for the next time. Sorry for the tongue. Amen. It's Ope that gave the tongue. It's not me. Amen. I'm looking for the next. Mommy told us about when daddy will come to Oshogbo, either Oshogbo or Gumosho, and he can even spend all he has to just travel in a trip to see the one his heart loves. I would like to. It's the same for the Lord, though. In fact, I think it's even better for the Lord. Are you following me? So, communion should be something that we are longing for. Are you following me? Communion should never be boring. It should never be boring. See that moment on the word, that moment with the word. Lord, what is your word saying? What is your counsel concerning this matter? Lord, what are you saying to us in this season? They should not ask you and you don't know what the Lord is saying in this season. I won't lie to you. If you are such a person, not knowing what the Lord is saying in this season, something is wrong with the secret place. Something is wrong. I'm not saying you should teach it. I'm not saying you should pastor it in quotes, but you should know what revelation is the Lord giving you in the secret place based on what the Lord is saying to us corporately. What is the Lord doing in this season? In fact, let me say the truth. With a rich communal life, some of the things that are being taught should be confirmations. I'm not lying to you. Should be confirmations and maybe more strengthening of it, strengthening the vision more because of authority and oversight to lead the way into God's purpose and God's counsel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we need to know how to carry the presence of the Lord everywhere at work. Go with the presence of the Lord. Or as you are sitting under your seat with the desk, just have a feeling that Jesus is with you there. That is actually how he wants us to feel. That's actually how he wants us to be. He wants you to ask him questions. Lord, how do I go about this? I know a woman who, even to the hair of her head, she asked the Lord how she should take care of it. I'm not lying to you. Your health. Lord, you want to buy, I saw someone buying Tim yesterday. I used to do it a long time ago too. I've repented. Him buying team, you know, you can you may want to buy something, and the Lord says, no, don't do that. It's communion. I don't know if you get what I'm talking about. I discovered that Genesis chapter 18, which we may also look into, Genesis chapter 18 was communion. You see, God was talking about Abraham that I know a man. Thank you. He says, thank you. He says, at a point, the three angels visited Abraham, and we understood how Abraham began to us, was hospitable towards them, took care of them, gave them food to eat. He says, and the Lord said, shall I? The end of that was, shall. When the Lord saw that longing, that desire, Abraham didn't desire that they leave. Now that we are, Lord, when do we this thing end? Well, no, something's wrong. It's likely that something else has taken over that secret place. When you are desiring the time that the Lord will leave. The Lord does not live like that though. He wants to be with you all day. Amen. After you are leaving that place of devotion, after you are leaving that place of communion, he wants to go with you. As you are, so things that we read in the scriptures, things that we study, times of worship, which I will still speak about briefly, all of those things should be culminated into a reality that we now come into the participation of it. So, for example, the Lord is teaching you about the shield of faith. The shield of faith. The shield of faith. Now, the Lord, he wants to show you how to express it with regards to warfare. Because he also knows that there's an adversary. So, he wants to teach your hands to war. Are you following me? He says, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Next verse. Says, for I know him. God is saying to Abraham, for I know him. Can God say concerning you, Sister Cynthia? I know Cynthia. Now, you cannot know the Lord. Like that is, this know, I believe, is from the word intercourse, which in Genesis chapter 4, it says, and Adam knew his wife. It says, for I know him. This is in the place of a secret place. It's in the secret place. For I know him that he will command his children. God has observed Abraham's walk, Abraham's ways, and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord and to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which is hath spoken of him. Down, after these things, God now told Abraham. No, let's see. Let's continue. I want to just show something. I mean, it's a long verse. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Next verse. He said, I will go now down, blah, blah, blah. Go down. And there's a verse that says, thank you. So the scripture says, and Abraham drew near. And Abraham drew near and said. So God was sharing his thoughts. If Abraham was not interested, he would leave it away. Or he would put it aside. And we saw that Abraham drew near and said. So at times God shares his thoughts to the end that we would draw near. Hallelujah. Says, and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the weak? Yeah, see how they were talking. Hey, this is not Lua Gbao. No, I thank God. Daddy said, for example, communal prayer, which I also speak about, is the foundation of all prayers. Communion prayer is the foundation of all prayers. Thank God for times of stretch prayers. But communion prayer, I won't lie to you, at times can be for a whole day. It's meant to even be for the whole day. You begin, you continue. Again, our Father in the Lord said, the Lord wants him to make contact with him. The Lord told him, make contact with me every day, every time, every moment. So the Lord wants us to make contacts with him. Touch him, check him, check his, feel his heartbeat. I like that song Mr. Edward sang. I want to feel your heartbeats. Oh, those people gave us a lot of beautiful songs. Feel his heartbeats. The Lord wants you to know how he feels concerning a matter. Are you rejoicing? Unless you are rejoicing when he's not rejoicing. No wonder James was telling the church that they should be afflicted and they should mourn. They should, because over the churches in that season, what God was not pleased. God was desiring something that they were not yet coming into. He now told them, says, draw near. Verse 9, I think, or verse 10. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Abraham came to a place where he drew near to God's mind, God's thoughts, God's agenda, what God wanted to do on the grounds of the relationship that he has with the Lord. Either second to the last verse of this chapter. Now scripture now says, and when Abraham had finished communing with the Lord, I like, it was this series that made me see that word. Help me with the verse. He says, and the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. So the Lord communed with all this old thing that we just read is communion. It's communion. So intercession entered communion. So like God's servant has taught us also that intercession is on the premise of that relationship that you have with the Lord. Now, like he was saying to us, he said, how will you speak concerning another when you don't yet have the relationship with that person? You now want to bring another person's matter into that topic, into the matter. No, it is on the premise of the relationship that you have with someone that you can now stand in the gap for someone else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So communion with the Lord is, like I said, is meant to begin, like I said, in the morning, no doubt, which how that will also be is as a result of how the previous day went. What God, like I said, wants us to do is to sleep in his presence. At times to do that, we need to culture a life of thinking around the thoughts of the Lord as we go to bed. You know, I like that song, prayer is the key, prayer is the master key. Jesus started with prayer and ended with prayer. You know, it's possible that it has become a thing of the past of praying being the last thing you do before you sleep. Not sleep, just on Instagram. Okay, yeah. it's some of those things are not the things, but it's just that we don't end. I visited someone lately, one of our pastors. I don't want to mention his name. He may not want me to mention his name. And I saw the pastor praying before he started eating. Bless this food, O Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. I said, wow. Now, it's a good culture. Jesus wants to be there with you. Have you heard Baba Adeboye's story? He was about to eat maybe bread and tea, and he said, Lord, I invite you here. Come and dine with me, something like that. And he opened his eyes and tea had gone down. Now, some people attacked Baba with that. Amen. They attacked Baba with that too. But once someone that had understanding and judgment told me with regards to that, when I heard that, I said, this is serious. Is that you don't know what that is. You are only speaking from the natural. He said, the Lord is saying, I want to come and partake of your cup. Sorry, I want you to also partake of my cup. So for the Lord to drink of the dumb cup. You don't understand what I'm talking about. So it's down, it's beyond tea. It's the cup of the Lord that man is signifying. Hallelujah. So my point is that the Lord wants to be involved in everything. That moment of bread and tea, bread and egg, yam and egg, you are fetching water. Thank God for the culture of praying in the spirit, which is one of the tools that also causes this to occur ceaselessly. Scripture says, pray without ceasing. It's meant to occur ceaselessly. As you pray in the spirit, as you wake up, you are walking on the road, you are singing a song. I'll still talk about some of those things. You are singing a song, you're flowing in the spirit, you are rejoicing in the Lord. As you are doing that, all of a sudden a light breaks. Bam! Hey! At times when we are reading Bible reading, at times you just said God's servant, daddy shouting. At times some of us are just sit down, this Bible reading, I'm just reading. Somewhere, you are not a man of the word. If you have the word should not be burning, it's never burning. Maybe when you were dead and blind, as long I'm not lying to you. If I won't lie to you, if they say word and football, if they say word, in those days in school, I used to play PS, all these funny game addictions. I had some of them, but I won't lie to you, it got to a place that I got addicted to the word. You can be there for hours. That's how the Lord actually wants you to do. Be on the word. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't go to work. We should do that. But at times, there's a time that you may be free. That time that you are free, how are you spending it? Are you spending it on movies? Genshi Kole Dijade by alone. I mean, it was the seven doors. It's actually the intention of the heart. You know, at times, when it comes to word, you sleep. And you have not entered the trouser of that matter. See, like God's servant, that the Ajimati will say, oh, what should go to again? You didn't enter the matter of that thing. Say, no, I can't be sleeping when it comes to the word. That is saying at times he's even waiting, he couldn't read Bible. The thing is already inside him. He's not yet inside some of us. May God help us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. To also practice how to discern God's voice, brethren, I won't lie to you. At times the Lord has to The Lord can use relationships to help you to discern his voice. Let me explain what I mean. God can use other people to help you discern his voice. We saw that in the case of Samuel and Eli. Eli in growing up to be before the Lord, he couldn't discern the voice of the Lord. He thought it was Eli that was speaking to him. So in hearing the word from your pastor, say hearing the word from your pastor is one of the basic ways of discerning God's voice. Hallelujah. At times, the scripture also said, where two or three are gathered. I know that this scripture, I'm feeling people that have revelation attacking me right now. Pastor, scripture ain't hiding. You know? Allow it, amen. This is Bible study, amen. Amen. It says, where two or three are gathered together in my name. There I am. So I won't lie to you. At times, when you are looking for God's thoughts, God's voice on a matter, just look for trusted friends. Look for people that are believers. I won't lie to you. Whenever you go in their midst, you hear God. You will hear the Lord though. Whenever I'm around them, daddy, I'm around them pastors, some of our pastors, not some of our pastors, because my relationship is also growing with some of them, but I had a relationship with some of them early. I think when you are just there, you know what God wants you to do. I think in unit meetings, in meetings like this, the thoughts of the Lord become clear too expressly. Hallelujah. That time of devotion, I like listening to people. Times you tell someone lead prayers when you are just the person is leading prayer. I say, Kai, Bible, this boom is clear. Hallelujah. So we must know how to discern God's voice amidst our brethren. Amen. Scripture says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established. The more we practice listening to God's voice, the more we'll be able to discern it. So it's not something you get in one day. You may think it's the Lord. I won't lie to you. Like I thought it was the Lord telling me to marry someone one time. It's possible. You know, at times you don't get humbled with some of such things. I thought, but I discovered later, like I had an interest for that particular person. Amen. Let's not talk about it today. I had an interest for that person that now made me think he was the Lord. Let me give you the gist a bit. I had always admired the person. All of a sudden, I was praying. And as I was praying, I just turned in a school meeting. No, it was in school. I just turned, and the person I saw, lo and behold, was, I just said, surely the Lord is telling me that this, no, that the Lord does not do like that. The Lord has protocols. Hallelujah. The Lord has ethics. My point is, now, I never was in a relationship with that person. Why? Later, I just knocked off. This is not the Lord. Hallelujah. He's not the Lord. I won't lie to you. By the time I knew my wife, it was too clear. It was too easy. Was simply peace in my spirit. Hallelujah. Submitted it to God's servants, God's counsel. God counsel well. Amen. And all of that is history now. Amen. Hallelujah. So communion is not a religious practice, brethren. You know, in Isaiah chapter 1 from verse 12 down to, I think, verse 18, Jesus, God was telling the children of Israel, he says, they should stop all these things that they were doing. He says, when you come to appear before me, who had required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbath, these are practices of the fathers that they were, of the Jews that they were doing. God was saying that, no, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. He now got to a particular place. He says they should, their hands were full of blood. He says they should come now. I like the word come now. Come now. He says, and let us reason together. So the end of communion is so that we will reason with the Lord. Hallelujah. But for us to do that, we have to wash ourselves with the word, know his thoughts, know his will, get his counsel, so that we can now come into a place of reasoning with him. Let's see Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. It says, and when thou prayest. So communal prayer, which I'll still talk about a bit also. Communal prayer is one of the expressions of communion. Communal prayer. There are many other things. Meditation, worship, which I'll also speak about. It's one of the expressions of communion with the Lord. It says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. When you are doing some of the things that we... You know, thank God for corporate prayer, but the beauty of corporate prayer should be more seen in our secret place. I don't know if you get the fire, the level of the burning, how the altar is burning, should be seen in our secret place. It says, for the love to be praying, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, it's possible for someone to love praying, leading prayer, and his secret place is struggling. I can't lie to you. I know what I'm talking about. You can love to want to lead prayer, but when it comes to secret place, communion with the Lord, you are failing there. It says that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 6. It says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. How many of us remember the movie War Room? Enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door. Say, shut thy door. I believe this door represents many things, but one of the things it represents is the mind and the heart. Shut it against distractions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it talks about how we need to attend to the Lord without distractions. Pastor Onesimus was leading prayer, and he really, really blessed me on Tuesday, talking about how there's a desolation of that is occurring upon our daily sacrifices. Now, it has been prophesied before by Daniel, even in Matthew chapter 24, as one of the occurrences of the last days, that love of many will wax cold. Now, when love of many is waxing cold, it will touch secret place. Pastor Friday was talking about it last week also, how these days they need to revive. Why are people doing online prayer? The reason is because love of people are waxing cold. Love, it says, because iniquity shall abound. Love will not just go down if some things are not put there. So some other things that should not be on the altar, what is on the altar? Are you following me? It says, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. So the Father is in the secret, oh. Now, times I've also suffered for that thing. You are confused. But the truth is this: when you enter the secret, light comes. I'm not lying to you. You know what to do. It can be an instruction. It can be direct answer concerning that matter. The Lord does not want us to be troubled in any way. He says, be of good cheer. If you are troubled, it means that somewhere we are not using the provision that Jesus has made or given to us well. So we are just suffering in ignorance. They pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 7, please. It says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now, this much speaking is not like don't speak, like God's servant has said in previous teachings. It's like they are thinking that God will be heard with their much speaking. No, God will be heard on the grounds of relationship. On the grounds of access. It's like, I remember daddy saying, how will Olubi want to speak to him? And he said, daddy, I say I want this thing. Give me this thing. He's knocking on his door. Give me this thing. As a father, in fact, before you probably thought of those things, I already thought of it for you. Are you following me? I already thought of those things for you. So you should just be at peace. Be at peace that you will get those things. Hallelujah. He said, be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father. I like Jesus brought the connection of the Father back to the church. Hallelujah. He says, but for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So it's like he's the one even looking for the communion chiefly. Because he desires an habitation. The end of communion is that he wants to dwell with you. I won't lie to you. So one of the things that we should experience in the place of communion is that we should experience what it means to be trembling before him. You shouldn't be in communion not trembling before the Lord. At times you may not see some people crying, but they should be crying in their secret place. I'm not lying to you. Cry well. When it's in Joel, please cry. Oh. I'm not lying to you. Cry. Ah, Lord, what's happening? Have you forsaken me? Jesus, what am I doing? Lord, why am I not getting this thing right? All of a sudden, you now see the thing, you begin to break. You just break down before him. May we find grace to humble ourselves before him. When it comes to communion, it's not bon face. We have to humble ourselves before the Lord. I'm not lying to you. We have to humble ourselves. A lot of us, I trust that the Lord wants to bring, I believe the Lord wants to bring us into higher grounds in the spirit. Higher grounds of fellowship. But it's going to only happen on the premise of humility. Thank God for the teaching on meekness, on the teaching on humility. It's going to be on that premise that the Lord will now commend grace to exalt us again. Hallelujah. Verse 9, he now taught them. He says, after this manner, therefore pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You see, worship expressing here. thy kingdom come. Before any question, he began to worship. Hallelujah. 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 So let's look, in continuing, let's look at channels and pathways in communion. Channels and pathways in communion. I'll end this also speaking around communion prayer. Amen. Also a little bit more. Amen. Number one, worship. Number one, worship. Let's see if Psalm 122 verse 1. Psalm 122 verse 1. Psalm 5 verse 3. Psalm... He says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us go into the house. So it is from the position of gladness that we should access the Father. He says, enter into his gates with what? And into his courts with what? Now, it's, thank God for the light in that scripture. But practice the acts. Hallelujah. I won't lie to you. When it comes to singing, I know some of us may not have good voices in quotes, but God does not hear soprano. The Father, I'm not lying to you. If he can hear the bird singing, I'm not lying. No, if he can hear the bird sing, I know the birds at times when you hear, if you hear their, if God can hear them, forget crooked voice. Now, because he's not just hearing that voice, he's seeing the sacrifice of the heart. He's seen the sacrifice of the heart. So Psalm 4, I think, verse 3. Before we come, we'll maybe come back here. Psalm 4, is it verse 3 now? I'll commune with the Lord upon my bed, something like that. Verse 1? Thank you, Pastor. Verse 5? Is it 5? No, this one is 4. I think. Let me look. Verse 4. 4, verse 4. There's another one in 5. It says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your heart upon your bed and be still. And be still. And be still. Selah. You are on the bed. That bed is just... I won't lie to you. You don't know when you jump up. At times, Egan said, and it's a practice that we should all enjoy by God's grace, that the Lord can wake him up at any time. The Lord can wake him up in the middle of the night because the Lord wants fellowship. Can wake him up in the middle of the night, in the morning, as he's walking. He says, as he's walking on the road, he's praying, he's singing songs, he's worshiping the Lord, he's just engulfed with the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, stand in awe. We should always stand in awe of the Lord. Ah, Lord, how beautiful are you? What a matchless being, what a wise being you are. Even though I know I don't know you as much as I should know you, I won't lie to you. When it comes to fellowshipping the Lord, the Lord expects that we come as babies. I like that song, may we never lose our wonder. Thus approaching the Lord, not on the grounds of familiarity. No doubt we are knowing. A man, after he had journeyed with the Lord, he says, that I may know him. That's how they want you to express it. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 says, we have not yet known as we ought to know. Brethren, Tim alone, I know, go lie. Says, if any man think that he knoweth anything, yet knoweth nothing, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Bro, Bright, this is your, this, you are not yet there. We have not yet gotten to where we are. Our hearts should stand in awe. Verse 4. I'm going to verse 5. 4, verse 4. Psalm, verse 4. Psalm 4, verse 4. Stand in awe and sin not. So it's clear that one of the hindrances in praying or in communal prayer is sin. Say sin. Is sin, no? Sin. Sin in that fellowship. Disobedience in that fellowship. It does not allow us to connect with the Lord. The Lord will not even come. Mommy Elena given us, I've had experiences of the same thing many, many times. You want to experience fellowship with the Lord and it's just dry. What's happening now? See your thoughts. You just put light on that thing. Just put. You and your wife, you are on the same page. She says, and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Verse 5 now says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in. Now, amen. Part of the sacrifice of righteousness in this case is what I'm talking about, worship. I hope you know worship is sacrifice. How many of us love to worship? There's a difference between love to sing. You can love to sing, but you don't love to worship. Because somewhere it takes your time. It takes your being. At times, the Lord, you want to leave. The Lord is saying, don't leave yet. Has it ever happened to you that you are worshiping the Lord, the Lord takes over? I've been in some of those experiences. I don't lie to you. The Lord is now the one singing to you. I'm not lying to you. The Lord is now speaking to you, singing to you. He can sing, oh. Hebrews chapter 2. He can sing. He knows how to sing the song of his father. And he begins to sing. Hallelujah. Been in meetings where I've seen ministers wait on the Lord. I've seen Jesus teaches us in this local church by God's grace. God's servant waiting. I'm sure on Thursdays, number one of the days that is, doesn't even know how the thing will go. And he's just waiting on the Lord. I'm sure as on Thursday, this last Thursday was going, I was looking at that. I was observing. Looking at that. At times I was seeing him check his pad, Bible. I'm sure he was waiting. Then he sat down. He said, open to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Do we remember? Did he go to Deuteronomy 32? He thought around Higgins prophecy. Now, it means who taught the message? The Lord. Are you following me? So what, you see this whole thing that happened? Daddy was communing. He was still communing. Are you following me? You are told to lead prayers. You have commune with the Lord. Let the Lord press the thing by his spirit. Because at times you don't know how he wants to go, how the route he wants to go through. You are told to do something. You don't know how the route he wants to go. Just lean on him. And then we lean on our strengths. But by strength, you can never prevail. Well, can we just learn to allow him carry us upon the wings of his spirit? Hallelujah. Psalm 5. He says, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. Now, I think that's verse 7 or verse 8. Thank you. He says, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. In thy fear will I worship. So I'm talking about worship. Worship. In worship, we experience the secret place. I'm not lying to you. The reality of God's presence. We experienced one beautiful one last week Sunday. Amen. The reality of God's presence. We still experienced one some minutes ago. Hallelujah. In Psalm 73, a man was worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. As a man was worshiping the Lord, he worshiped till he entered sanctuary. And he saw the reality. He says, until I went into the sanctuary. Now, worship was what was. You know, I won't lie to you. God does not mind we playing the fool in quotes when it comes to communion with him. What God hates is pride instead. You know, that sense of, all of me, my mom, this is how I feel, though. Why are you now good to Bro Bright and you are not good to me? You know that sense. God knows our frame. Hallelujah. He knows that we remember that we are dust. So you know that we are, like Gadia said, we can be packaging and forming for the Lord. He doesn't want it, though. That's pride. And Lord, I won't lie to you. Lord, I'm troubled on this matter. I feel that you have blessed a lot of people. A lot of people are getting married in my presence. And while I'm not yet getting married. When the question, come. Until you enter into sanctuary of God, then I understood. So, one of the things that we should experience, this sanctuary represents the place of worship. And that's what I'm trying to bring in principle. It talks about the place of God's thoughts now coming to us. Then you understand. Have you ever been in place of worship and the Lord's light just dawns? Bam! Hey! You're like, wow. I see. The thing ends. Another thing, aside worship, before I jump, I don't want to jump. In the place of worship, we must learn to dance before the Lord. David was a man of communion. If you read all those Psalm 1 to 150, no wonder his son was a terrible lover. I'm not lying to you now. His father taught him well how to commune with the Lord. So the very first songs of song was not songs of Solomon. They call it songs of songs. The very first song was the book of Psalms. Thank you, Daddy. God bless you, sir. Eshegun, sir. Yoruba calls it only Dafidi. So Dafidi loko only. From even though he had a lot of people amongst his team, amongst his company that sang, scripture calls them the house of David, David and his mighty men, that sang those songs. Song like Hey Saf. Korah, thank you, sir. Sons of Jeduthun. So all the things that we read and doctrine is being fed for against sin, all of those things were born out of worship. I don't know if you get what I'm talking. How well? You know, you can bet new songs in your place of worship. It doesn't have to be a worship team thing. Sister Talk, where is the bet new? He wants to hear. He says Psalm 33. He says, he put a new song in my mouth. What was that one? I will sing a new song to the Lord. I think that's Psalm 33. There's another scripture that says, he put a new song in my mouth. The Lord should put new songs in our secret place should be refreshing. Thank you. He says, sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice, with a loud noise. Hallelujah. This noise is not noise according to carnal understanding. No. Thank you. He says, and he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. So we should come out from our secret place. Many should be seeing it. The praise of his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as we stay in the place of worship, as we stay in the place of worship, one of the things that will happen to us is that we'll begin to make significant decisions. We'll repent many times. I won't lie to you. Repentance is a constant thing in the secret place. A constant thing. People may not see you repenting, but it should be a consistent thing in the secret place. You should be daily repenting. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Even though you might have not told the person you are sorry, but the Lord, confess your sins before him, because he's readily available to forgive you. Hallelujah. And that channel and pathway of communion is we should learn about him in reading books, in studying, sound teaching. Hallelujah. Sound teaching. Sound teaching. Thank God for a house like this that is a house of bread that the Lord uses to feed us, giving us sound counsel that can enrich our communion with the Lord. Hallelujah. Another channel of communion with the Lord is meditation. Say meditation. Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, Genesis chapter 24 verse 63. And he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. That's Psalm 1 verse 1 to 2, in case you are not knowing what I'm reading and you're online. It says, but his delight, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law. I like the word delight. So our love must first be in the law. He says, as the deer panteth after the water brooks. He says, how I love thy law. God bless you. I said, how I love thy law. It is my meditation. So you meditate on what you love. I'm not lying to you. Amen. I said, you meditate on what you love. Do you know everybody meditates, really? It's not just believers that meditate. Some people that have high blood pressure is as well, some meditation. No? Some of them meditate on their fears. Some of them meditate on their issues, their worries, Penny. Thank you, Pastor. They meditate on some of those things. Nigeria can be a thing of meditation on. You can just, our government, how I give this thing, how my mama, how kilo tension, what do you want, Penny? You know, Now, but our meditation should be in the law. Oh, hallelujah. Go back to Psalm 1, verse 1. I think I'm in verse 2 now. He says, verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and is in his law doeth he meditate day and night. Meditation can enter the night. I'm talking about sleep. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes, I can't remember. It talks about the business of the day. If you can help me with that scripture, it talks about the business of the day. You dream about the business of the day. That business. Thank you. He says, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of. So dream at times is as a result of the business. Business is not tirakita. That's not what I'm talking about. Activity, transactions, engagements of the day. Are you following me? And then you dream out of it. Maybe a question in your heart that you never had an answer towards. All of the Lord shows you a thing. Amen. So we need to also know how to guard our mind, because meditation is from the mind. Hallelujah. So what repeatedly enters our mind, occupies our mind, actually ultimately shapes our mind. It shapes our mind, though. Events that we attend. Events that we attend at times can shape your mind. And then you are struggling in fellowship, for example, because of maybe an event you attended and they were singing Shakiti Bobo. I'm not lying to you. So you were under a cloud that you also took home. You also are not discerning enough to know when to leave or when to plug in. You are in an event. I'm not saying you don't go, but you're in an event. You don't know how to shut the door. Because Satan wants to pollute the sanctuary. Our sanctuary is our heart and our mind. Satan wants to pollute it. He seeks for how he wants to pollute it. If, at times, in one of the ways we do in avoiding is that we run away. At times, we have to go, but we have to now get wisdom and counsel in how to shield ourselves. Jesus did not tell them to take us away from the world. He said they should keep us. Hallelujah. So we need counsel and wisdom on how we can be kept. Hallelujah. So we need to take heed on events that we attend, materials we read, music we listen to. Some barbers are evil, they have evil spirits around their barbing salon. I'm not lying to you. I had to preach to my barber. I'm not lying to you. I had to preach to my barber. Every time I go there, I notice that he's always playing. You know the person, pastor, sir. You know the person, sir. He's always playing bad songs. Songs I don't know. I said, have you ever asked that? Have you ever asked your clients or your customers that if they like this song? Because our last song, oh, God, then chef one. He now said that he has never thought of it, too. That why did I say? Because I don't like these songs that you are playing, and why are you playing it for us? And blah, blah, blah. He said, is it bad that he doesn't know those songs are bad? And I said, are you a Christian? I said, what's his name? He said, Emmanuel. And I said, these things are bad. I said, these things are bad. And I know this is, I know God is not with us in your barbing salon. I said, these things are bad. I had to preach to him. I won't lie to you. That was last year. I had to explain to him. I said, no, these things are bad. You don't do this. I said, as a believer, you should culture a good environment even in your salon. We should be catching spirits in your salon. Play Nathaniel Bassey. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Do you know the funny thing? The next time I went, I've not been there for a while now because someone else that babs my head now. The next time I went, he didn't play it though. It wasn't because of me. I met it not being played. I'm not lying to you. I met it not being played. So, like, I don't know now. Right? Let's I say something. You know, that it may not be established and it may also have gone back. So, I'm talking about music that we listen to shapes our mind. You listen to something, all of a sudden, you are struggling in the next day of devotion. That's all is coming up in your devotion. I'm only joking. You don't get enemy. We have to guard our hearts with all diligence. We have to keep our minds with all diligence. Amen. Our images we watch, conversations we have, all of those things shape our minds. Daydreams that we entertain. How will my wedding be? How will my wedding be? How that thought came was that you just saw a picture of a wedding gown on Instagram. Then you're already thinking about your own wedding. The next thing you want to pray is that Namukrafana wedding. You're just remembering wedding gown. Am I saying we shouldn't interact? No, we should interact, but we should interact with wisdom. We should interact with wisdom because some of those things they can make our minds receptive or dull and deaf towards God's voice. Those things can make our minds deaf towards God's voice. Hallelujah. So to have a rich communion with the Lord, we must engage in the things that God loves and hate what God hates. To have a rich communion with the Lord, we must engage in things that God loves and hates what God hates. So I'm still in meditation. Let's see Genesis chapter 24, verse 63. Scripture told us how Isaac went. He said, and Isaac went how to meditate in the field. Meditating on the road. At times, like that, will say, that walk. Say, just be meditating. As after this message now, you want to use the restroom. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, and Isaac went how to meditate in the field at the eventide. That's evening, I guess. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. So it means Isaac was a man of meditation. We should be men of meditation. That's how we can retain. No, I'm not lying to you. That's how we can retain things that have been. It's beyond Jota. Thank God for Jota. Say Jota. The Jota must enter. You did get. Sorry. I'm sorry. Amen. It's not rhyme. I don't. Amen. He must enter. He must enter. We should. And in Jeremiah chapter 2, he talks about the two evils that the children of Israel have committed, how they are forsaking the law. And because of that, they don't have systems that can hold water. So we must guard our minds. I believe what the Lord is doing in this season of this teaching is the Lord is mending our nets. The Lord is mending our bag. The Lord is sewing things back for us not to long for that we no longer now have holes that we are losing things in and out of season. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. So if it's not going to depart, it means that the book of the law is what you should sing about. It's what you should talk about. You talk football, talk about it with the book of the law. You talk government, talk about it with the book of the law. You talk business, talk about it with the book of the law. You talk academics, talk about it with the book of the law. Are you for? That's the only solution. I'm not lying to you. It says, but thou shalt meditate therein day. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and chapter 6, you see how God gave the children of Israel instructions on how to pass things to other generations in teaching. So if we come into your homes, we check your phone. If someone just says, let's randomly do a phone check now, hope we will not be afraid the things that we'll be saying. I'm not lying to you, because really communion also enters that, because what you keep beholding. What you phone now, like that was saying yesterday, is TV. It's what we keep beholding. We behold. Now, Psalm 16 says, I have set the Lord always before me. It says, verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. So we must know and culture how to set the Lord before us. Always. And this is in meditation. Are you following? It is in meditation that the Lord has to be before us. In that engagement, okay, Valentine's Day came. Hey, how do I do Valentine's Day with my spouse? No, I'm just not talking. Forgive me. Amen. I'm even talking about how do I? The Lord can direct it. Okay, how do we do this day? How do we attend to this particular matter? How do we address today? Because day unto day uttereth speech. There are counsels that the Lord wants to share with us every day. Hallelujah. How do I attend to the Lord on this particular, on this faithful day? Less is a day that I will not redeem for salvation. And I have said the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. So meditation is the process by which the mind dwells with some intensity and duration over a thought or an image. The Lord should be in our meditation. The Lord should be chief of our mind. I think there's a scripture in Isaiah chapter 26. It says the Lord will keep whose mind is stayed on him. Also, thank you. Help me with the scripture. It says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed. God will, it's Pastor Dayo that uses that scripture a lot when she leads prayer. The Lord will keep in perfect peace, whose mind. Brethren, why we have not experiencing some peace is because our mind is maybe being beaten, driven away, troubled. I don't like to. If you don't have some capacity as a single, when you enter a phase of marrying, you will struggle. I'm not lying to you. So this, I just feel that I should speak to us that this is the time for us to come before the Lord again, daily come before the Lord, bearing down our burdens before him, letting him carry our burdens. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. You don't enter a day with burden. Cast it before the Lord so that you can know his own burdens. He has his own that he wants to share with us. What if some people picked COVID-19 and maybe the Lord wanted them to pray about it? I am just imagining, because some people died. I'm subject to correction, but at times it may just be because somewhere we are lost in touch. Abraham at a particular point had to commune. He said, what if there are five? Ten. That he started from 50, I think. What even if there are 10? Now, brethren, do you know it was on that premise that someone like Lot was saved, though? But even the saving of Lot, God is still with one leg, K-leg. Hey, again, come on, sir. Because everything he had was destroyed. So at times God wants us some things that will happen to our family members, some things that will happen to people around us that we may need to pick, maybe something about 4 years. Reverend Hagin said it, that he was praying at a particular point. The Lord woke him up in the midnight and he was praying. And he didn't know who he was praying for. He didn't know. The Lord did not even tell him who he was praying for. He was just praying. And as he prayed, after he prayed in the morning, all of a sudden, he discovered that it was someone he would have not prayed for, that he was praying for. And I think the person was involved in a particular thing, and the Lord rescued the person as a result of that prayer. Now, if you're a man absorbed with self, like 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, you are absorbed with yourself. God will deliver all of us. Absorbed with self. That your sleep is precious to you than that intercession that you may need to do before the Lord because of relationship with him. You may just need to avert an evil. Well, I heard some things happen around Orogun some weeks ago. Maybe it was as a result of some nonchalancy. I'm not saying so. We need to also check all of those sides to see accurately the Lord's mind concerning matters. Hallelujah. So from meditation, thoughts will flow from our head to our hearts. It will flow from our head to our heart, and by that, it will generate prayer. It will generate prayer. Amen. I believe the Lord wants us to consecrate ourselves again. And that's the essence of this teaching, so that we'll come into a higher height of fellowship with him. Amen. May the Lord grant us grace. As we stay in strife, unforgiveness and sin, like I said, it shuts our heaven. Those things shut our heaven. That's one of the reasons why we struggle in fellowship. Strife, someone's what someone does. So we must every day, we must daily invest in love. Must daily invest in love. Daily invest in love work. Love work. I mean, like, a lot of us must do this thing I'm saying, including me speaking. We must daily invest and abound in love and in judgment, because Satan, there's an adversary that does not want you and the Lord to commune, because he knows the end of that thing. The end of that thing is that you'll be strong. And he says, those that know their God shall be strong. And the end of that thing is that you'll be strong. And in that being strong, you'll be able to resist the devil. So he wants to offer coin. He wants to turn your back to the Lord. So he can make what someone does or what someone did to get at you. And all of a sudden, you are now holding grudges. He says, grudge not at one another. That's in James, I think, chapter 5. He says, for the judge is at the door. The judge is at the door. So we cannot afford to have grudges with one another. We cannot afford to. Because it is through some of those doors that we have opened that the thief comes. The thief enters, the killer enters to steal things from us, steal virtues, things that have been taught in a week. All of a sudden, we lose all of those things because we just allowed our hearts to dwell in bitterness. I wouldn't like to. People have infirmities, and you knowing that will not even change it alone. It will take the patience of the Lord. It will take Jesus. It will take the high priest. At times, wanting to change someone can make you offend. So you must know how to allow Jesus to come and change that person, lest you through all of that also enter into a position of strife, unforgiveness, offense, and by that you lose connection with the Lord. Can we pray this morning that the Lord will restore an authentic and a rich fellowship with him in all of our hearts? Can we pray? Let's pray. That the Lord will restore upon our altar. Fire will burn again. Fire will burn again on our altar. Fire will burn again on our altar. Please pray. Pray. Pranu fra bala prandeka. Azepino fargama provene presisi brapombo juja. Pregedebelista biasi.
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.